I have no complaints this week.
I don't know. It kind of sounded a little scratchy to me, Clyde. You feeling all right?
I've been... My voice is a little hoarse this week. I don't know if you guys know this, but I yelled a lot during the last 3 weeks. Or 3 days. 3 days. I mean, if you'd like, I can go ahead and get some of my yelling out now.
Why? I don't understand why you've been yelling the last 3 days.
Well, there was some football. And then there was more football. And then last night, there was also some football.
Maybe you shouldn't yell at football.
Well, every time I yelled at football, good things happened. I have empirical data to back this up.
Well, why didn't you yell at the fucking Vikings to win their game then, huh?
Oh, right. Did I not tell you I bet on the Lions to win that?
Did you really? I mean, I don't believe you, because it's the fucking Lions.
No Dalvin Cook, I went all in. I will say, I won my bet last night, and it was wonderful.
I missed my bet by one fucking rushing yard from Josh Allen. I was very much not happy about that.
So that sack that Matt Judon had on him really fucked you, huh?
Yes. Yes, it did. Not enough to make me lose.
Okay, almost in a couple of ways, but it's Matt's team, so no.
My favorite part was that he did not realize Matt Judon was playing.
Sure didn't.
Till the sack, and I'm over there dying laughing because now I realize that they're within a point. And he's like, what the what? And I was like, your boy just got sacked, and Judon just got like 4 points. He's on his bench. Nope. Check again. Instant, oh shit.
Yeah, for some reason I thought Matt was done for the week after Sunday. So, there was a minor momentary bit of panic.
If he hadn't screwed up his knee, there's half a chance that y'all would be, like, tied right now.
This is true.
Such a good game. Such a bad game. But a good bad game, or a bad good game. I'm not sure. One of the two. Take your pick.
I've never been so viscerally angry about a kicker missing a field goal. Also a kicker making a field goal. Also the kicker on my team making a field goal and not missing a field goal. I had a lot of anger last night. I was real bad.
My favorite part of that was watching them trot out Tyler Bass and me going, there's no way in shit he's in this. He's going to doink it or wide right or shank the shit out of it. And then that prophecy coming true. I know.
So there was a report right before the game. And they were like, Nick Folk is practicing. And he kicked a 33-yarder. And it landed over in the stands wide right. Like, it's just not even remotely in the area. And then he makes a 45-yarder in the game. That motherfucker. I love having him as my kicker, but motherfucker.
Now, I was afraid when they didn't kick the extra point on the touchdown. And then they mentioned something like midway through that quarter that Belichick had specifically picked the side of the field he wanted so that in the second quarter and the fourth quarter, they would have the wind at their back. And I went, never mind. Bill Belichick's just playing 4D chess, and I'm over here trying to figure out what the fuck checkers is. Got it.
Yeah, he also threw the ball 3 times. And I'm pretty sure 2 of those times was like an accident. It was just Mac Jones being like, let me do my job.
You know the best part about the game? Manning tried to do a pregame talk with Mac Jones, and Mac Jones turned it down. In the nicest way possible. Like, he's like, I'm sorry, we just don't have the time to fit that in.
I saw somewhere that Belichick wouldn't let him do it.
I mean, I feel like Belichick's got that dude day planned out for the next 12 fucking years.
I mean, that's why Tom Brady wasn't on, like, any form of social media for 23 fucking years, was Belichick wouldn't let him.
Look at all the commercials he's doing now too. All of that changed once he went to Tampa.
Yeah, he's got Mac Jones as his new hostage forever and ever.
I mean, 6 NFL championships, though. 5 NFL championships. Sorry.
I was going to say, the 6th came in Tampa, didn't it?
That was 7, I think.
Oh, never mind. Back to 6.
Really?
Good Lord, I'm just imagining... Pretty sure. Like,
almost positive.
Just imagining the Boston mayor meeting with Bill Belichick. Are you holding players hostage? Yeah. You know what? How many championships do you have? We're about to win our 5th. I didn't see shit walking out. Give me the key to the city on the way out the door.
Well, I'll tell you, ESPN is loving the outcome of last night's game because they are already pimping the Bill Belichick's Patriots versus Tom Brady's Buccaneers Super Bowl. Oh, I'll scream. I'll scream through that entire thing.
I don't know that anybody's going to end up beating Indy unless they have to take their ass. Unless Indy screws up and has to go play in the snow in New England. That damn team looks good.
They look all right. Jonathan Taylor looks real good. Carson Wentz is fine.
I look at Carson Wentz as like a slight upgrade over Rex Grossman in your championship run.
Carson Wentz would have been a massive upgrade over Rex Grossman in that championship run. Are you kidding me? Kyle Orton would have been a slight upgrade.
Should never have benched him.
Still an upgrade.
Should have never benched Kyle Orton.
I agree.
I screamed it the entire fucking time. I don't understand. But along with that game last night, Mike! Somebody owes me some beers.
And it's... Yeah, exclusively Dan. Dan owes you 3 bourbon counties.
2.
Wait, Clyde?
3. No, he owes you 3 because you guys made a bet prior to the bet à toi. That was the Sanders bet.
Oh my god! Dan, you owe me 3 bourbon county stouts.
And I owe Dan 1, so maybe he'll just want me to give that to you.
It's a rough day for Dan.
It's not great.
It was a great weekend for me. I don't know what you're talking about. Because, Tom, we have an update to go over real quick.
Sure do.
I believe that one Sammy Watkins, all pro-ish almost in his dreams, Sammy Watkins scored 13.8 points. Sorry, 13.9 points. This weekend. How many did he need to score?
13.61.
I want to remind you, for 3 weeks, I have been given buyout options on this bet. And I stood pat and said no.
I do not remember offering buyout options. I believe somebody was telling you to offer me buyout options.
Mike?
It sounds like something I'd do. I don't remember doing it, but I'll allow it.
I think one of you were advocating for a buyout option where I buy a half pack and call it a day. And I said, no.
Yeah, I think that was you buy me a half pack and call it a day, yes.
Yeah. And I said no.
Good for you. I'm glad it lasted as long as it did.
It is good for me.
It was a fun bet. I like that one.
We've had, all jokes aside, we've had some really good season-long bets in the league this year.
Yeah, we got one more that's about to spice back up. Hopefully starting next week.
If they don't return him for this game, I'm it's gonna feel good.
they're gonna bring him back for this game. They need him.
Just because they designated him for return does not mean he is ready to come back.
He is practicing, though.
But that does not mean he will play.
Just because he's not ready to come back doesn't mean they won't make him come back.
I want him to come back and then have to sit out week 17, so that week 18 is the decider. That's all I want.
I want him to come back well before he's ready to come back, because that means a high likelihood of him sitting right the fuck back down.
Specifically, I want him to sit out week 17 and then come back week 18, brought out on a throne wheelchair, legs propped up. He literally gets up for one play. He starts the first snap, like, limps to the sideline and sits down, and that's his game.
I want you to know that if he is going to go out there for that 18th game, or I guess 17th game in week 18, I am going to fly to Nashville or wherever that game is. And right before his foot hits the field, I am going to come screaming out of the ether with a goddamn crowbar.
I'm going to have SEAL Team 6 prepared for that event. I will hire bodyguards. He'll be like, I got guys. Clyde, what are you doing? I've got like six guys. Not enough, Julio. You stay over there in your bubble. Stay away from it.
Our fantasy playoffs are over. This is all he has going for him at this point. He has to win. He'll find a way.
Oh, man. That was a great weekend, guys. That was a great weekend. Good for
I liked it.
Dan's probably in shambles, but fuck you, Dan.
Yeah. Fuck you, Dan.
So I guess we should probably talk about everybody losing, right?
You mean everyone that's not on this podcast losing?
Yeah, those people.
Where do we want to start this week? Boring?
Eddie. Always. Eddie and Eric. Let's get those out of the way.
All right, well, should we go with the lowest score then? Or the lowest score is also the biggest blowout.
That would be me.
That sure would.
Hey, who'd you play this week, Mike?
I played Eric.
Oh.
I don't know if you'd call it playing Eric, but yeah, sure.
I feel like that's kicking puppies. Though I needed you to kick those puppies harder for me.
I received trash talk from Eric on Thursday, like midway through the Cowboys game. He thanked me for playing Zeke over Tony Pollard. And I have not heard from him again since. I wonder why.
You said Eric trash talked you, and the look on my face was mild to major shock.
Yeah, I would. That is what that looked like to me. You seemed as if you'd seen Slimer or something.
What? Mm-hmm. Wow.
The best thing to me about my matchup is, according to the Sleeper Weekly report, which I don't often look at, I do when I win, because then it makes me happy.
I like it. I think it's entertaining.
I was the best team, and I beat the worst team.
Giving you
the biggest blowout of the week.
We'll come back to that report in a bit, because there's some good stuff in it.
There's some fascinating things in there, but quick about my matchup. I was a little concerned after Eric, you know, did what he did to Daniel. I was worried. I mean, I got the highest score of the week, and I think I only outscored Eric's score last week by like 15 points or so. Not a whole bunch. So clearly his team is capable of great things. Clearly, that did not happen this week. Also, my team went nuclear, so I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, how many points did Kittle? How many points Kittle did Kittle have?
Was a gentleman's 40 at 39.6.
Gentleman's 40. Anywho, yeah.
Wait, great. 10 out of 10. Would like to do that matchup again. I'm not gonna gloat, because I don't feel like it's fun for me to just
kick puppies,
hang out and talk about how good my team is and how bad Eric's team was. So let's just look at Eric's team real quick, because it didn't do bad. It did pretty bad.
It did not do great.
The thing of it is, like, Was Eric the lowest scoring team of the week? Yes. But not by much. There were a couple other teams that had he played either one, he would have been really, really close, or, you know, kind of close. Okay, two other teams. There were two other teams.
I mean, we can mosey on down to the other team.
The other matchup that Tom pointed out as being, what was the word you used, Tom?
Boring.
There it is. Would be Carlos versus Eddie.
You know what? I thought about this over the last 30 seconds while I was getting beer, and do we have to? Let's take a look at the matchup. Probably doesn't help that Eddie started Daryl Henderson, who got a whopping 0.00 points.
Wait. Was it an odd week or an even week? What week are we in? 13. Look, Miles Gaskin. He did nothing. The polls have officially flipped. Miles Gaskin only on even weeks. All right, proceed with your talk of Daryl Henderson being terrible.
I don't think you can say he was terrible. He literally did not see a snap this week.
Yes, that's true. And yet, featured heavily on Eddie's offense.
To be fair, he only left Mike Davis with 16.9 points on the bench.
And let's be real, if you have a shot at Daryl Henderson playing or starting Mike Davis, honestly, I don't even know why Mike Davis is still on his team.
Oh, Jesus. Eddie, your defense is awful.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's not that good. It's not that bad.
It's bad. Anywho's, Carlos's team went off even though Dak Prescott did jack squat on Thursday night. So there's that. 22
also
for Gibson.
Previously aforementioned Miles Gaskin being bad. Gaskin. No, Carlos had a great week. I got no qualms here with Carlos's team. Yeah.
There you go. Kudos to Carlos.
Moving quickly through the boring matchups, on to matchup three of the week. Matchup three of the week being Joe versus Caesar.
This is true. Well,
this was a fun one.
This one was a good matchup. This was great. I'm bored. This is boring.
I was really hoping for some real good stat corrections come Monday, but you know, guess just didn't happen, Caesar. Sorry.
It was one of the more interesting ones to watch, I'm not gonna lie. I was texting with Caesar a little bit throughout. I think he was trying really hard not to be hopeful. And I don't think it worked. I think he let some hope sneak in and then just experienced a fair amount of pain. Because if he wins, he's 5-8, right? Yeah, if he wins, he's 5-8. And above Eric at 7. So he'd be up one spot and in playoff contention if he had won against Joe. So Joe beat Caesar.
Barely.
Tom beat Matt.
Barely.
So very barely.
Way more barely than I wanted it to be.
Had you lost. I don't know you would have gotten to sleep that night because I would have been too busy laughing.
Sure. I mean, it would have been really hard to be upset losing when we both scored, you know, we were both over 200. It'd be one thing like last week when I was in the 170s and Eddie still couldn't beat me. I had a good week. I was on the more efficient side of in terms of putting points on the board, and Matt's team just had a weird random week where they all showed up. Good for him.
Would have laughed heartily. I did laugh.
I mean, that's the thing, though, with Matt, right? Like, Matt finally shows up, just happens to go up against the first place team, almost beats the first place team from the basement of the league, and also would have beaten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other teams this week.
Good on him.
Still in last place.
You tried hard, son, but your team still sucks.
Great, so well, that leaves us with one last matchup. And Clyde, that was you.
Fuck you, Dan!
Yeah, fuck you, Dan!
I mean, it had to be nice for Dan to not have to worry about the second or third set of games. Or Monday, for that matter, because it was already in the bag. Like, he got to watch that shit in person on Sunday and, you know, get to mope about it through the afternoon game and the night game, because it was done. I think it was up by 100 points by the time we left the first set of games. It was great. So good.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not having any luck. You know, Justin Jefferson also getting like over 35 points and still getting beat by so, so many points.
All of the points. All of the points. All of the points. And then, on top of that...
To be fair, his number one and two running backs both on bye this week.
Technically, he's had Aaron Jones for 2 weeks, and Aaron Jones has scored a grand total of 2.3 points for his team. So,
yeah, no, I see where Tom's coming from this one. I get it. I get that Tom's preparing his speech for next week when he loses because his number one and two running backs are on bye or hurt. I see where you're at, Tom, and you won't weasel your way out of getting fucked by my team this week.
I don't care if your team fucks my team this week, Clyde, because I've already secured my playoff spot.
You can hear the fear in his voice. Listen closely. That he is holding back.
But Tom, there's a chance that you could play spoiler and kick Clyde out of the playoffs.
I didn't say I wasn't going to do my best to roster the best team I could, but, and if we want to momentarily swap over into projections for, or like, talking about next week.
Swapping!
Swish.
My two starting running backs next week, like, in my actual running back slots, are Josh Jacobs and currently Adrian Peterson.
Fuck you, Josh Jacobs. Ruin my goddamn bet, piece of shit.
Love you, Josh. Sorry, Logan. Logan Thomas, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you tear your ACL and MCL.
He didn't tear his ACL and MCL.
Oh, he's fine?
Way to pay
attention.
He's not
fine. He's just not completely fucked up.
Yeah, he will be.
Oh! Well, never mind, Logan. You're fine. Get up and walk it off. Also, fuck you, Devonta Smith. Fuck you. I could have got 3 for 3, damn you.
Anywho, so Mike, that takes us through all the matchups from last week.
Which means we've got a week 14, the final week of the regular season, to look at. And it is a doozy. Before we do that, let's get a playoff picture. So the current standings are Tom in first, Joe in second. Both teams have clinched a first round bye. I think. But okay, not quite for Joe. But unless he loses by like 500 points, it's not happening. Right. So both of you have.
Yeah,
he has to score 0 points, and I have to score. Yeah, I.
You have to score damn near 300. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to break the league record, which won't happen. But more on that later. You and Joe have a first round bye, which leaves me and Carlos in the 3 and 4 spot. Conveniently, me and Carlos also playing each other in week 14. And that's the end of the clinched teams. So 1, 2, 3, and 4 are clinched. And then we have 5 and 6, two remaining playoff spots. Right now, Clyde is in 5th at 6 and 7, and Dan is in 6th. At 5 and 8.
If I may, if we're going to call two clinched already, we can go ahead and round about, say, 5 and 6 are clinched as well.
Except that 3 and 4 are actually clinched, is what he's saying. Like, no, there what is you're, no way.
Look, that listen, they are listen, not Tom. Three listen, and four. Listen. If you're telling me that 2 is unattainable by Mike, 6 is unattainable by Eric. He has to outscore me or Dan by 200 points this week to clinch
or
eight
players. He could just win, and Eric could, or I'm sorry, and Dan could lose. And
that is
then,
an option.
Then he
oh,
is
never mind.
Six.
Scrap that. I'm in. Fuck you, Dan. Go figure your shit out.
Do your research, Clyde, before you start coming down it on people.
I did my research on my team. I don't give a fuck about Dan's team.
Yeah, fuck you, Dan.
I mean, clearly, I don't give a fuck about Dan's team. Look what happened last week. Jeez.
So, Clyde is not technically clinched, but probably. Which leaves Dan, and as, you know, we've just exposed, Dan might be out.
Ooh.
We'll see what happens.
Ooh.
The matchup that would determine that, or the matchups that would determine that, conveniently, Dan versus Matt, who just almost beat the first place team, and Eric versus Caesar, who is in shambles.
All right, so now I am even more committed to beating Clyde this week. Just to, like, give him that much fear.
This face right here has got all the fear. I'm so scared.
I'm doing a deep dive. We're pulling out some boomer busters that are going to go off and, you know.
Hey, Tom. We'll Tom, see. You know all those times where you're like, oh, I might lose? I'm not worried. It's right here. I'm not worried. I'm happy.
That's cool.
I'm still riding that the I beat Dan high.
I'm really enjoying that. We might have two, and we'll definitely have one team make the playoffs with a losing record. We might have two. If you win, Clyde, you are 500. You are the St. Louis Rams. You are Jeff Fisher.
I'm going for fucking Seattle being 6-7 and then fucking shit up in the wild card. Well, I guess I'm going to go in at 6-8. That's fine. 6-8, fucking up the wild card.
I think there's a real good chance Eddie ends up in last place after next week. He's got to play Joe, so chances are he's not winning that game. And Matt gets to play Dan, who just shat the bed against Clyde.
And Matt did whatever the opposite of shitting the bed is while also losing.
Also true.
What is the opposite of shitting the bed, but, like, while also shitting the bed? Ooh, I know. It's catching yourself right before you shit the bed and almost making it to the toilet, but then you just shit on the floor instead. But you have a tile floor, so, like, it's an easy cleanup.
Yeah. I was going to go down a different path, more along the lines of a wet dream situation, because, like, you still messed the bed, but at least it was not nearly as bad.
So it's like the best way to make a mess.
It's probably the second best way to make a mess in bed, but yeah. Sex, Mike. I'm talking about sex.
Oh, I thought we were talking about eating a bowl of chili in bed. Watching a movie.
I'm in terms of, like, traditional ways to make a mess in bed, second best.
How dare you take a shit all over my Thursday night chili bed night? How dare you?
Y'all use beds for sex?
We don't all have access to a hay bale, Clyde.
Got it.
Sorry.
I'm just saying, invest $50 and it's the best sex you ever had. It's a little
Seems
itchy.
Scratchy.
It's a little itchy at the end, but, you know.
Why at the end? I feel like it would start scratchy. The sweat would make it less scratchy.
I don't know. I haven't used the hay bale in a while. The dungeon, you know, cross thing that we just... Well,
one of us is having sex wrong, and I don't know which one it is. So speaking of matchups this week, Tom, what did you say? What was the matchup you pointed out?
I pointed out that Eric was, or no, that Eddie was playing Joe, so he was going to lose, and Matt was playing Dan, which Matt could win, i.e. Eddie ends up in last place.
So in addition to Joe versus Eddie and Matt versus Dan,
only one of those will be interesting, by the way.
I disagree, but...
we've got me versus Carlos, which is interesting as much as it can be. We've got Eric versus Caesar, which is actually quite interesting because these are the two remaining teams. Well, the one remaining team that has a shot at the playoffs, Eric in seventh, all the way up from last place. Who has a shot? A slim one, but a shot. What Eric requires is to beat Caesar, which right now he is not projected to do. And he needs Dan to lose, because Dan has about 200 points on him. And Dan plays Matt, as we said, who is capable of playing spoiler, as we saw this past week.
I'm just saying, had you lost to Matt, this week is a hell of a lot more interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's very true.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The thought of creating chaos is appealing, but I just couldn't do it.
Operation Chaos, Tom. Agent of Chaos. Be an agent of chaos. It's really fun. Last and certainly not least, we have we got Clyde versus Tom. Tom versus Clyde. Roommate versus roommate.
I am so happy that this win or this matchup does not decide my playoff fate. Because I told I said at the beginning of the year, I said at the beginning of the year when I figured out that was the last matchup of the season before we hit the playoffs, there's a chance it will come down to, can I beat Tom to get into the playoffs? And I'll be damned if we weren't 1 week away from that shit happening. Mike, this is your time projected to say, fuck you, Dan.
I say fuck you, Dan, when it feels right. But yeah, fuck you, Dan. You had one job. I mean, you had a handful of jobs. And actually, of the jobs that you had this season, you did none of them, you stupid piece of crap! You didn't beat anybody except for me. God damn assholes. Bullshit. Interesting is that Clyde currently projected to win, largely due to a couple of buys. And I mean, if anybody was going to beat Tom, other than me, this would be the week to do it, because Tom, without Jonathan Taylor.
Or DeAndre Swift currently.
Also that. Which means Tom's running backs are Josh Jacobs and...
currently, Adrian Peterson. Or Rex Burkhead.
I mean, we're saying this like didn't also lose Kenyon Drake and Miles Sanders. So
Clyde, you haven't had running backs this entire season. That's not new.
I had one week, and it was this week.
I think this is officially the worst running back matchup of the league this season.
This season?
Yes.
Just
this season, yes. It's your... I don't know. Collection.
David Montgomery and Devin Singletary versus my Josh Jacobs and either Adrian Peterson or Rex Burkhead. I can't decide which is better.
Close your eyes.
Throw a dart.
Put their pictures on your door and just throw something at them.
See, Mike, the real sad thing is currently right now they are both in my starting lineup.
Who else did you lose that lost? Like, what's going on?
I just am not confident in anyone else on my bench right now.
This is the story of your season. Is this not what we said? The second you have to go to your bench, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yep.
If you sustain one fucking injury in week 14, it looks rough for you.
I mean, you know, again, if Jonathan Taylor Devonta Smith weren't on bye. Much different story.
Aren't you worried about like Jonathan Taylor's activities for the bye week? Like usually people go on vacation. What if he like goes to out of country and that country shuts down all air travel because of the pandemic and the Omicron virus and he gets Omicroned out there in Estonia or wherever he goes on vacation?
I mean, let's be real. That's probably not going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen, but it's fun to think about.
Fast I mean, forward here's 2 weeks
and we're looking at Jonathan Taylor being out for another month.
If Jonathan Taylor goes out, I have Marlon Mack. If Josh Jacob goes out, I have Peyton Barber.
Speaking of Christmas, and since we're done with the preview, right? We're done with the preview.
Do we get to talk about how Matt's wrong?
Yes. This is the reason why people show up to this podcast. Nobody gives a shit about this leak. We just want to hear why Matt is wrong about everything all of the time. In this instance, Matt is wrong because Matt thinks that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Hey, Mike, when does Die Hard take place?
Christmas.
Oh, it's a Christmas movie, then.
Well, see, I believe Matt would make the argument that that does not make a Christmas movie.
Oh. Does Christmas affect the movie in any way?
The movie exists because Christmas is a holiday, and Christmas exists as well. I saw an argument recently that someone said if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, then Gremlins is also a Christmas movie. My reaction to that argument was, yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you. That is my point.
Does it happen during Christmas?
It does. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Gizmo is a Christmas gift.
Oh, 100% a Christmas movie.
Precisely,
then.
Yes. That movie cannot take place without Christmas being present.
I mean, there are other things you give presents for, so maybe, you know, Gizmo's a birthday present, Mike.
I mean, yeah. But then there's, like, a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, there's Santa hats, there's Christmas carols, there's, I'm pretty sure, a Christmas party. The Gremlins have a Christmas party at a bar.
Well, what if it was an Easter present slash party slash whatever, then?
I mean, I think that would make it an Easter movie.
Oh. So if Die Hard happened during Easter, it would not be a Christmas movie.
No.
It would be, in fact, an Easter movie.
Yeah, and John McClane would wear a bunny suit. And it'd be really weird. Yeah.
I kind of like this.
I actually would watch the shit out of a Die Hard Easter. I'm just saying.
Let's tweet him and see what he says.
Someone call Bruce Willis. We have an idea. He's not doing anything. I haven't seen him in a movie in like 5 years.
That's because he's been in nothing but shitty Netflix movies for the past 5 years.
Him and Nick Cage should do a shitty Netflix movie.
I'd watch the hell out of that.
Oh, I don't even care what it could just be them in a room talking, and I'd be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
I just had a thought of Nick Cage and Bruce Willis in Jack Frost 3.
Oh, God, Tom.
Oh, I heard. And I want to get caught up so I can watch the second one with you guys.
I have never enjoyed not watching a football game more in my entire life. If you have not seen Jack Frost, see Jack Frost. Not the Michael Keaton vehicle.
Oh, I know. The horror movie.
The 1997 horror feature film, Jack Frost. It is the worst movie that I have ever seen in my entire life. And I have seen Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. Also, if you have not seen Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, please watch it.
I remember when that movie came out, at least on video, because I remember being in Lion Video in Mundelein, Illinois, walking down the aisle, and it had the holographic cover that was Snowman. Scary Snowman. Snowman.
Demon
scary.
Snowman,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
That is how we got on the topic of conversation about Jack Frost, because that was, and honestly probably still remains, like the scariest cover of a movie I've ever seen, especially given the holographic nature of it. And I never watched it. And then we watched it. And holy fucking shit. It's everything I've ever dreamed of. Highly recommend. Also, we'll only watch it again. Like, it's a one-time watch, unless you're playing a drinking game with your friends, in which case it should be the first movie that you suggest after The Room. Tom,
Yes, Mike.
You heard the Christmas movie draft.
Yes, sir.
Based on the rankings, you would have had the fourth pick in that draft.
I do recall it going Die Hard 1 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Home Alone, number 2.
3.
Oh, you're right. You went third. Home mm-hmm. Alone, number 3. Number 2 would have then been
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So yep. You leave me with pick number 4. Yep. I do not go with Home Alone 2 because, in my opinion, if you're including sequels, then you would probably have to go Die Hard 1. I mean, I don't know. I would argue that since the first one is a Christmas music movie, they're all Christmas movies. But either way, in my mind, they were all just lumped together.
I mean, Die Hard 3 is not a Christmas movie.
Well, I mean, they kind of, none of them are after the first one, really. But nonetheless, point being, I would have just kind of lumped the two Home Alones together.
Sure.
So my pick at pick number 4 probably would be a bit of a shocker because I hate the lead actor in almost every other thing he has done. And I probably would go Elf.
That's a good pick.
I hate Will Ferrell. I do not like...
You hate Will Ferrell.
I do not like the movies he does. Elf is like one of the few.
So, Anchorman?
Can't stand it.
Talladega Nights?
Can't stand it. Blaze of Glory, all of them. I hate them.
Those are the only three Will Ferrell movies that I could... Oh, wait, Old School. I got another one.
I do like Old School, but it's not really...
He's not the main exactly. character.
Exactly.
Elf is a solid choice. Solid choice. So... Okay, so you pick Elf, so then Home Alone 2, so then Dan, what the fuck did Dan take? Clyde, what did Dan take?
I don't remember what Dan took.
Took a movie. It was I don't know. I took Krampus because I forgot that Christmas Vacation existed here's what happened. I made the Krampus pick, and halfway through talking about Krampus, I remembered Christmas Vacation. And wanted to change my pick, but, you know, I've already made my pick. That's not how the draft works. Hopefully I get it in the back half of the third, and I didn't. And it's the most Raiders thing I've ever done.
So are you asking what my next pick would be?
Yeah.
I don't watch a ton of Christmas movies.
Fair enough.
Did Dan pick Jingle All the Way? I think Dan picked
Jingle All the Way. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. Thank you.
You know what? I am going to throw out there, and it is relevant to my life today for a reason I can or cannot get into. It doesn't matter if you I can if you would like, but Santa Claus. The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
I pick that in the third round.
Well, I'm picking it in the second, Mike. So you have to repick.
I have to repick. All right.
I'm confused as to why this is relevant.
This is good. Are you Santa?
No, I wish.
You're wearing red right now.
I would give Clyde so much coal. It would just start showing up around our apartment, and he probably wouldn't notice it until it was so prevalent. It was literally a stack behind his couch that just fell on him.
He would notice, and he would just text me and just be like, I think Tom is shitting everywhere, and I'm worried about his digestive health.
I would like to at least hope that he would assume it was the dog first, but, you know.
He'd be like, no, I've seen Susie's shit. This is definitely Tom's.
All right, guys. I'm out of whiskey, so we gotta go.
Bye. So let's close it out with another draft, because I feel like that's been fun lately. I enjoy those. Okay, here we go. In reverse order standings. So, Clyde, then me, then Tom. What is the best Christmas cookie?
Ginger snap. Done.
Show your work.
It's a ginger snap. It's delicious. It's Christmas flavored. It's delicious. Done. How much more work do I need to put into this? Like, ginger snaps are great. They are great cookies. But they're only really good during the Christmas time. Because they have that cinnamon flavor and they get that snap and they're just... I don't have a good answer as to why they're even better on Christmas, but they are.
Okay. But you have ginger snaps outside of Christmas.
I honestly don't eat them anytime else. I have a box at Christmas, and that's it.
Are you saying that ginger snaps are the diehard of Christmas cookies?
For me, yes.
Okay.
That is a hill I'm willing to die on.
All right. I like it.
That works in so many ways. I love it. I disagree with the cookie, but, you know.
Oh, I also disagree with the cookie. Pick 1.2, which is great, because this is the first draft I haven't picked third in. I'm going to go. I don't know what the fuck they're called, but they're the cookies with the Hershey's Kiss in the center
fuck
of them.
You, that was my pick, damn it!
Because
it's called a Snickerdoodle Kiss cookie, you jackass.
Sure that. Those things. I think I usually have them. I think the cookie that I usually have is like peanut butter, and then the there's the Hershey's Kiss. So you might have a different version. But like those are by far the best, because they're either a one bite cookie where you shove the whole entire thing in your mouth, or you can be like dainty about it and take half a bite, hurt your mouth, and then just shove the rest of it in there anyway, because you went point first onto a Hershey's Kiss, which is never a good experience. All I'm saying, those are the best by far, and they do laps around ginger snaps. And now Tom has to Google a list of Christmas cookies because he wasn't prepared.
No, I don't, because you took the peanut butter kiss cookie. I am taking the Snickerdoodle kiss cookie.
All right, fine, deal.
Boom. Basically interchangeable, slightly different.
It's the same cookie, and that's why it's the best cookie, because it's 1.2 and 1.3, and both are probably better than the ginger snap.
I hear your arguments, and they're invalid, so fuck you.
Okay.
I mean, they are valid. You may not agree with them, but they are valid.
What's 2.1 then, Clyde?
I don't honestly know any other Christmas cookies.
Just pick a fucking cookie. Just take a cookie and eat it with a Santa hat on. Christmas cookie.
Fine. I'm going tried and true. Can't be wrong. Can't be beat. Give me the classic homemade chocolate chip cookie.
Okay, all right, fine, great. I think Santa eats those when he comes down the chimney with care.
They're delicious with milk too.
Listen, in a cookie draft, chocolate chip cookies are the 1-1, no doubt about it in my mind. I will take chocolate chip cookies in the regular cookie draft every day of the week.
Agreed.
However, this is the Christmas cookie draft. Therefore, chocolate chip cookies do not belong. What does belong here is like a chocolate chip cookie. And I am taking this cookie with my 2.2. But it is a chocolate cookie with peppermint chips. Oh, yes. Fair. It's essentially the peppermint bark of cookies. And it is delicious. And I will eat those right next to the cookie that I took at 1.2 that Tom named and I forgot already.
Oh, just the peanut butter kiss cookie?
Yeah, that's the one.
I think he put a hole in my roof when he did all the stomping. It is leaking now.
I was very angry.
Tom, you're up.
The only thing that's going to be Christmassy about my third choice is their shape and decoration. In the preferably hand decorated, because, you know, added love, Christmas shaped / decorated sugar cookies.
Can you please clarify what you mean by that? Because it may affect my third round pick.
So it's a sugar cookie that is shaped like Christmas trees or candy canes or Santa that are then frosted, preferably with a, like, you know, the frosting that kind of gets like a little hard outer shell and it's kind of soft inside.
Yep.
Preferably decorated by hand.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. Not mad about it. You may proceed. Clyde, with your chocolate chip cookie. You have to pick a third one since this should be fun.
Oh, good Lord. This is like inviting an MLB team to a cricket draft. I don't know what the fuck I'm drafting.
Would you prefer a Hanukkah cookie? Tis the season.
You know what? Fuck it. We're just going to name my favorite types of cookies at this point. I'm going to go with a white macadamia nut chocolate cookie. It's not Christmas at all.
Make it Christmassy. What are you doing with it to make it Christmassy? Is it in the shape of a candy cane or a reindeer or Santa?
If you make that cookie in the shape of a candy cane, you fucked up that cookie. It should look like a lot, like it should almost look like a pile of poop with white shit hanging out, like little white nuggets in there. It's just a pile of dough that is just hardened, but it's gooey and delicious inside. It's a lump of coal. It looks like a lump of coal, Mike.
What do you think coal looks like, Clyde?
I don't know. It's black and hard and round.
And your cookie is
semi-roundish. It kind of black. Think,
I'm starting to think that you may just be burning cookies when you make them.
Honestly, if you do the chocolate macadamia nut cookie, right? It looks burnt. It just looks like a hard rock. But it tastes delicious, and it's gooey inside.
All right. Well, we're going to move past that as quickly as possible because it's wrong. Wrong! And we're going to go to my 3.2, which is the only cookie I actually know the name of, and I was worried that Tom was taking this one, but he did not. Spritz cookies. Spritz cookies are those cookies that you kind of like pipe out of the piping bag, and they're in the little Christmas tree shapes or little circle shapes, and they've got maybe some sprinkles on them, and they come in sometimes different colors. Sometimes they just look like sugar cookies, but they're bite-sized, and you shove them in your mouth, and you eat like 40 of them at one time, and they're amazing. And shit, now I want cookies.
Me too.
Well, you got to make your third pick before we have cookies.
Well, my third pick, again, the cookie itself, not such a Christmas cookie, but it is around Christmas time when they start getting sold. And I always had little cousins running around trying to sell them to me. I'm going to go with the classic Girl Scout Thin Mint cookie. Just for the good memories.
Hmm.
All my little cousins are now old and they don't sell me cookies anymore, and that's good and bad, but now I gotta find strangers to buy them from.
All right, Thin Mints. Thin Mints are good, you know. They're chocolatey, they're minty. Those are like the major Christmas cookie flavors, I feel.
Also true.
So yeah, I'll allow it. I'll allow it. I think I have a box of Thin Mints in my freezer right now, which man, that's a great thing to just keep around, is a box of Thin Mints in your freezer, because then you just do whatever the fuck you want with them. You can throw them in a French press and then shove a beer in there, and it's delicious.
I agree.
Thanks, Tom.
No, I think one of the best parts about Thin Mints is you can just, like, you could buy 10 boxes of them, throw them in the freezer, and they'll last you all year. It's great.
That's true.
Now I just want Thin Mints.
Do you have a box in your freezer?
I don't have any in the freezer.
Seems like a lie.
No, I don't. I wish I did, because I'd totally be eating them right now.
It's not in that freezer. You know where it is? It's in his beer cooler in the back where I'm not allowed to go. It's where he hides.
Is there like a lock on it or a sign?
There might be a lock. Is there a lock? I bet there's a lock.
That's where the Unicorn Diary is.
Now that's where it's going to be. Damn it. Going to come home tomorrow. There's just going to be like a huge padlock on there.
We didn't hear the entry this week. Clyde.
Oh, my God. It started out really, really high. He was really high on himself. He's going against Matt. He was talking about how he was going to beat Matt by like 60 and super excited and get ready for the playoffs and was going to go into the playoffs on a high note, completely glossing over the fact that he has to play me. I think he's a little bit worried about that, but we'll get to that later. And then, like, the week started, and Thursday happened, and I was like, you know what? I feel really good about this week. And then you get to Sunday morning, I still feel pretty good. It's just Matt. And then by halftime of the first set of games, feeling all right. Feeling okay. Sunday afternoon game, getting a little worried here. And then the night game, you can see the moment where his soul crashes.
was just like a different colored pen, and it was just Matthew Judon. I didn't know he was in the roster.
It was almost verbatim. I didn't know Matt had him. Followed by like six lines of illegible bold. Like it was just illegible. Like it was just chicken. It was like doctor's writing. Like just you cannot read it. Followed
they
by
were just and big words. Clyde didn't know how to read.
Followed by, I beat Matt. Dot.
I think you've seen like the general Andrew Luck and like the Colonel Justin Fields Twitter accounts, right? Like where they're like writing in the Civil War style of like dearest mother, yada yada. I think that we should start a Tom themed Twitter account where Tom is a, I don't know, Tom, what do you want your rank to be? Lieutenant? Colonel? Lieutenant Colonel?
That'd be there's a captain.
Captain. Captain.
And then he gets promoted to colonel.
Ooh. But if Tommy, you could start writing your diary entries in the Civil War vernacular, just the style and the so they can be dramatically read by a documentarian in the future.
I will get right on that.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Clyde, if you could start perfecting your best Morgan Freeman voiceover voice for the future entry readings, that would be great.
Dear mother. No, I can't do it. I can't.
Nope.
I can't
even. Nope. That's not what that's very much.
I can't do it.
That's just you saying dear mother. That's just all that was.
I gotta drop my voice down and I can't do it. I can't get there. I can't get there when I'm trying to. If I was fucking around outside just making up stupid things, I could probably get somewhat nowhere near close.
Are you suggesting that you could do a perfect Morgan Freeman impression if the pressure were
not on? Let me try that. Let me say that one more time. If I was just fucking around, I could almost do a not near as good version of that.
So something worse than that?
Yes.
Your Morgan Freeman impression.
I can't do impressions.
Sounds like a guy doing impression of a guy who is doing a Morgan Freeman impression while also having a stroke.
I feel like my impressions are about as good as Charlie Day trying to do an impression of literally anything. It's just Charlie Day.
Just high-pitched screaming. Yeah, I'm okay with that, Elsa. If you just want to read
in a high-pitched voice.
If you just want to do a Charlie Day impression and the diary entries, that would be fine.
I'll get to work on that.
Diary!
Dearest diary! Yeah, I can work on that.
Anything else we want to talk about? Anything else in the spirit of the season or another draft we want to do or anything? You know, go to bed. I don't know what you want to do.